Today on Real Radio.
Where are you going depends on what you understand. They didn't understand, of course, but also the message. Number two, they didn't understand his message. Verses 26 to 27, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, or the word is reliable. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Isn't it amazing to think that Jesus only said what the Father wanted him to say? They did not understand, verse 27, that he spoke to them concerning the Father. This is a heavy statement. Jesus is saying, I have much to say in judgment of you, but I'm not going to say it. It's not for me to judge. I'm not going to pass judgment. That's what this is implying. That's what he's implying. I have so much that I could judge you on. I'm not going to do that. My Father has sent me here for a task. And when he mentioned this, that he has much against them to judge, they understood exactly what he was saying.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 8. In the section we're looking at today, Jesus is speaking with some of the religious authorities of his day and said, "Where I go, you cannot come." It's a fascinating account in what is often referred to as the I Am portion of Scripture. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called, Where Are You Going?
Verse 22, where I go, that's heaven, you cannot come. So the Jews said to him, will he kill himself? This is a horrible thing, people. You don't get this in the natural English reading of your scripture. This is terrible. Let me put it to you as closely as I can. Will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? Listen, these leaders of the Jewish people, they believed they could not go to hell. They were chosen. We can't go there. It's impossible. Besides, we wear robes. We can't go. We're priests. We're going to heaven no matter what. We were born into it. My granddaddy was a priest. My daddy was a priest. My brother was a priest. I'm a priest. We're all a bunch of priests. My sons will be priests. Their sons will be priests. We're going to heaven. So wherever Jesus, listen, this is what they're saying. Wherever Jesus is going, we're not going. We're not going there because we can't go to hell. That's what they're saying. They're saying that Jesus is the one who's going to the pit. They're saying when he said, where I go, you cannot come. They said, oh, will he kill himself? Because listen, in the Jewish mind and in the Talmudic writings of the Jews, and Josephus mentions it himself, that the Jewish belief of that day was if a person commits suicide, they automatically go straight to hell. In fact, the deepest of hell, they believe that they went to the abode of demons. I think that's called Tartarus. The worst. Now, the Bible says, listen, I am not encouraging suicide, but it is not the unpardonable sin. I am not encouraging suicide. It depends on what day of the week it is, maybe, but I'm telling you, I'm kidding, I'm joking. Mondays are brutal, but all sin. Did Jesus die for some sin or all sin? All sin. A Christian can be so tormented. I knew a Christian that had a brain tumor who went nuts and killed himself. Oh, so is brain tumors going to keep him out of heaven? Think about it. You can become so depressed through chemical disorders or physical things or spiritual attacks, somehow you cave in and a person commits suicide. Is it a sin? Yes. Is it horrible? It's terrible. But Jesus died for all sin, even the death of or self-murder, suicide. They're saying he's going to kill himself. That means he goes straight to hell. So no wonder, Jesus, where you're going, we don't want to go. You see what their doctrine was? Am I too excited about this? I'm sorry. Their doctrine was, he's going to hell. Can you imagine being so stuck up that they look at the Messiah who's in front of them and proclaim, he's the one going to the pit, we're going to heaven because we were born into it. Wow. Horrible, blasphemous jab at Jesus. They were accusing him of planning his suicide when Jesus was simply saying, I'm going back to where I came from. Heaven, that was their doctrine. Isaiah 5, verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Boy, is that not the United States of America? Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Who take all that's precious and tears it up. Jesus in Matthew 15, verse 6 says, you have made the commandments of God no effect by your traditions. He's speaking to the religionist. Your manly traditions, your earthly rules. You've destroyed the Bible with your stupid man-made rules. I love the subtlety of Jesus. Matthew 15, 7, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you when he said, these people draw near to me with their mouth, but they and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Wow. I wonder if Jesus passed the church, how many people he'd have in it today. If he showed up today, oh yeah, I would go. Many millions of people would come. I wonder. If you walk in the door and he would say, hypocrite! Well, why? As you were sitting under that tree, I saw you, you know, picking your nose or whatever you're doing. No, but he's preached it like it was. It's amazing to me that when he started a church and when he ended a church, it had gone from 12 guys to 11 guys. That's called negative church growth. He didn't cater and pander to people. Why? Because if you expose the evil with good, there is a chance that that person who's convicted by the Spirit of God will say, you know what? I need this Jesus. Number two, not everyone is of God. Verse 23, you are from beneath, I'm from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. Listen, jot this down in your notes, John 8:14. John 8:14, he says, I know you don't know. Notice the contrast. For I know where I came from and I know where I'm going, but you do not know. John 8:14. John 8:15. I judge no one, you judge. You guys are judging, I don't judge. John 8:15, you judge according to the flesh. Jesus says, I judge no one. Note the difference. Not only is he from heaven and they're from beneath, not only is he from above and they're from below, but he says, listen, you don't know anything, I know. You judge people, I don't commit judgment to people. I'm waiting for their lives to turn around. John 8:23, I'm from above, you're from beneath. Again, John 8:23, I am not of these parts, as the way I put it. He says, you are of this world, I am not of this world. I am not from these parts, but you are. Wow. You are from beneath. That is the underworld, the abode, as we said, of the demons. It's amazing, isn't it? Jesus in John 8:44 is going to say to them soon, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. The word is you're lusting to do the desires of your satanic father, which is the devil. Is that radical stuff? I wonder if Jesus spoke this today. You might be getting a little upset with me saying, man, you said hell like seven times and devil and demon and this and sin. You said like 50 times. And man, I'm really getting upset with this thing. You know what? What if Jesus showed up and separated, as it were, the sheep from the goats? I don't mean that personally. But he's coming to do it. He's going to separate. He's going to go right like that through the crowd. Number three. Where you're going depends upon where you're from, because not everyone goes to heaven and not everyone is of God. Number three, not everyone receives forgiveness, and this is terrible. Therefore, I said to you, that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, or I am, ego eimi, you will die in your sins. Jesus is right here declaring that he's the eternal God. Unless you believe that I am the one who was, who is to come. Did you know that's reserved for God alone? I know there's people at your door, they knock on your door, they're of a cult, and they'll say that title, he was, he is, who is to come, is of God and of Jesus because he was just showing himself in some sort of a linkage to God. Oh, that is blasphemy. That is heresy. Jesus says throughout Scripture, I was, I am, I will be. Eternal. The I am. Him being the I am, he's the only one who forgives sins. In 1 John 2:2, I love this verse, jot it down. 1 John 2:2 says, and he himself, that is all by himself, he is the propitiation or the sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but the sins of the entire world. These crazy people walking around saying, Jesus only died for a select group of people. Well, I'd like to hear them and have them read 1 John 2:2. Jesus died for your sins, he died for my sins, and the sins for the whole world. But not everyone comes and receives that wonderful forgiveness. It'd be equivalent, maybe, on a carnal side, on the earthly side, for me to have a check right here and to have $1 million deposited behind that check. And I set it right here on the podium and I sign it and I say, whoever wants $1 million, come and get it. You know what? The first thing that's going to enter your mind is the first thing that enters my mind. Yeah, right. And I have to, come on, $1 million, it's free, come and get it. Oh, now he says free. Oh, sure. I did this in Mexico one time, not with $1 million, but with a dollar. There were like 15 or 16 guys sitting there. They were teenagers. And I had given them the gospel, and they're like, so what? It doesn't matter what I choose. And the Lord had given me this idea. Pull out a buck. So I pull out a dollar. And I said, which one of you guys think I would give this to you free if you just ask? Not one guy raised his hand, but this one guy goes, I think you will. And I walked right over to him and gave it to him. And all of his buddies went, oh, man, come on. Give me part. And the guy said, forget you. I thought that was so cool. They all criticized, but one guy stood up and grabbed the money. A lot of people criticize. Few stand up and grab the reward that Jesus got for us on the cross. Forgiveness of sins. Our second point this morning. We have 7, so don't worry, we're doing great. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Our second point this morning, where are you going? Well, first of all, we see that it depends on where you're from. Secondly, it depends on what you understand, verses 25 to 28. Depends on what you understand. And we see here in verse 25 that they didn't understand who he was. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to him, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. Doesn't that sound like a parent's response? What? What am I supposed to do? What I've been telling you from the beginning. Who are you? The same thing that I've been telling you from the beginning. See, it's not that they didn't hear him. They didn't understand. And they wouldn't under and couldn't understand without listening. When I travel, I am a very sensitive sleeper. I can hear a cricket walking, you know, it drives me nuts. So I have to put earplugs and if the hotel's got a fan in the bathroom, I have to turn the fan on because I can hear people and this drives me nuts. The reason why I put earplugs in and turn the fan on because it's noise. It's just noise. And if you turn the noise on, you can't what? Hear anything. You can't listen when there's noise. It is imperative that when I arise out of that hotel bed in the morning, that I turn off that fan. and pull the foam out of my ears, or else I won't be able to understand anything. I'll hear noise, and I'm thinking, what's wrong with that guy? He's got like foam in his mouth. Why doesn't he just say what he means? And then, as Paul put it to the Hebrews, remove the fat from your ears and hear what the Lord is saying. You've become dull of hearing. They were dull of hearing. They had foam in their ears. And they saw Jesus' mouth moving, words coming out, but to them it was nothing coherent because their heart had a doctrine embedded in it. Your heart, every one of you in here this morning, has a heart, and inside of it is a doctrine embedded within it. And what is that doctrine? What is your doctrine? The word doctrine is, what is your theology? What's your teaching? What is your understanding? They didn't understand who he was, so they asked the question, who are you? Number two, where are you going? Depends on what you understand. They didn't understand, of course, but also the message. Number two, they didn't understand his message. Verses 26 to 27, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, or the word is reliable. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Isn't it amazing to think that Jesus only said what the Father wanted him to say? They did not understand, verse 27, that he spoke to them concerning the Father. This is a heavy statement. Jesus is saying, I have much to say in judgment of you, but I'm not going to say it. It's not for me to judge. I'm not going to pass judgment. That's what this is implying. That's what he's implying. I have so much that I could judge you on. I'm not going to do that. My Father has sent me here for a task. And when he mentioned this, that he has much of them or much against them to judge, they understood exactly what he was saying. You think there's stone throwing going on over there in Gaza right now? I tell you, the fierceness of what this means to the Jewish mind when Jesus says, I have much to judge concerning you. Again, he not only gave them a right jab with I am, the statement, but he also gave them a left one when he said, I can judge you, but I'm not gonna. That's a place for God and God alone, and they understood that. Only God judges. You see, it was okay for them to judge, but not for him, in their mind, in their understanding. In John 8:43, Jesus says, why do you not understand my speech? It is because you are not able to listen to my words. Are you able to listen to his words? Thirdly, on this, or under this point, they didn't understand his mission. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Why did Jesus come? To die for the sins of the world, to die for you. He loves you. And he came to die for you, to forgive the world of its sin, to cancel that great debt. Because Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross, the world can find forgiveness. He says, when you lift up the Son of Man. Here Jesus is authoritatively, listen, skeptic, listen up. Jesus is authoritatively announcing his crucifixion. Question, can you crucify yourself? Well, you can probably get one foot nailed down pretty good. Maybe two. It would be kind of tough to nail down your left arm or your left hand. The point is, you can't crucify yourself. Jesus is prophesying, I'm going to be crucified. Not only did the ancient prophets say that Jesus was going to be crucified, but he announces it himself, I will be crucified. When you lift up the Son of Man. Can you imagine? It's the cross that Jesus is speaking about. The cross is where our sins are forgiven. Jesus, in his words, is pointing to the cross. Two things reminded me of this. You know, if you go outside at certain times of the year, there's the Northern Cross. You know what that is? In fact, astronomers have tried to doctor it up by making it into a big goose. It's the Northern Cross. Mariners for thousands of years followed the Northern Cross to determine which direction they were going. Did you know that? Those of you who have had any kind of navigational stuff, you know what I'm talking about. If everything breaks down and you have access to the heavens, to the sky, you find the Northern Cross and you can determine which way's east, west, south. You know which way you're going. Why? Go find the cross and you know where you're going. In England, in London, England, there's a place called Charing Cross. And if you're at Charing Cross, you can, from that point, find your way home. It's the central point of London, England, which is a huge place. Easy to get lost in. I've done it. But if you get back to Charing Cross, from that point, you can figure out where you need to go. Get back to the cross. In fact, there's an old story where a little child came up to a bobby, and he was crying. And the bobby said, "What's the matter?" And he says, "I'm lost." And he says, "I'll find your way home, little boy." And he said, no, it's fine. Because once I get to the cross, that's what they call it over there, for short. Once I get to the cross, I'll be able to find my way home. The moment you come to the cross, you'll be able to find your way home. It's not through money. It's not through acquisition of things. It's not through popularity or wealth. It's going to the cross. You'll find your way home. Finally, we'll be done. Verses 28 to 30, our third and final point. It depends on what you choose. Number one, where you are going depends upon where you're from. Number two, where you're going depends upon what you understand. Number three, where you're going depends upon what you choose. By the way, this sometimes upsets me, but God honors your choices. Did you know that? He may disagree with your choices. They may be wrong choices. They may be even costly choices to you. They may even cost you your life. But God honors your choices. He doesn't violate them. You want to make a stupid choice? You're going to make it. You'll pay the price for it. God honors your choice. Depends on what you choose. Determines where you're going. Choosing to do what God says. Verse 28. Will you choose to do what God says? He says, "And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone." Jesus chose those things that bless the Father. Choices. Luke 6:46 says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?"
That's a question that just might keep you up all night if you are struggling with your faith. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study which asks the question, "Where are you going?" It's taken from John chapter 8 and verses 21 through 30. We'll continue with more in this study on our next edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, we invite you to get in touch with us right away if you'd like. You can either call us at area code 909-393-7100, or you can visit us at calvaryCCH.org. That telephone number again is area code 909-393-7100. And if you miss that number, you can always get it off of calvaryCCH.org. As a matter of fact, you can get a lot of information when you visit us online. Everything from events and service times here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills to other things happening with our many outreaches. That's calvaryCCH.org. Also remember that Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial contributions. We invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially. You can send a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. No gift is too large or too small. Here's our address: Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, remember you can always easily find it on our website at calvaryCCH.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.